Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. This week, a man named H. Bergeron, commenting on National Vanguard, took us to task for not allowing the kind of speech he wants to use. Speech, evidently, by the context of his remarks, that advocates violence. He said in full, quote, "Take note of the rules of this website. You're not even allowed to say the words that will lead to the actions you desire. No one will act, ever. And no one will even talk about it, ever. Because it's against the rules. And whites don't break the rules. We might get called bad names. It's that simple. Feelings hurt by that? Oh well, too bad. It's not like we were going to act anyway." Close quote. Mr. Bergeron, I believe, is wrong about several things. Not all whites are totally subservient to consensus or perceived authority, as he implies. The men and women of the National Alliance certainly aren't. And we're already talking about it. Does Mr. Bergeron think that all of our discussions are done in the National Vanguard comment section? Does he think that all of our conversations are done in public? That would be very foolish. Mr. Bergeron is right in his implication that believing that we can survive as a race and never engage the enemy physically, militarily, is foolish. And we are not so stupid as to believe that. It's equally foolish, though, to act without discipline, without a plan worked out by our best minds, without having done the hard and possibly long work required to lay the foundation for success. And it would also be foolish to throw away our media, like National Vanguard, by allowing them to be a place for grandiose or undisciplined calls to physical action. Will we one day need to make the laws for our own society, beginning with a society within a society? Yes. Will we need to have the ability to enforce those laws and defend that society with physical force, deadly force if necessary? Yes, of course. No society can exist for long if it answers no. Will we eventually need a military capability? Yes. Same answer, same reason. We in the National Alliance know exactly what is needed. A new society. Nothing else will do. But before any of that can happen, before we can even dream that we'll see it happen in our lifetimes, we need to reach millions upon millions more of our people. We need to win the hearts and minds of hundreds of thousands of them to the point where all of them are supporting us through tithing or the equivalent, to the point where thousands of them are gathered in National Alliance and Cosmotheist communities scattered across the continent, places where a plurality of local officials and jurors are members or sympathizers, to the point where an attack on us by the system is seen by a significant fraction of the public, at least in certain areas, as treason and insurrection to be put down by any means necessary. To the point where, at least in our communities, almost no one would dare to cross us. Now is not the time to throw away your life in a fruitless act against the system or its weaponized mobs. Now is the time to join the National Alliance. Devote more and more of your time and life energy to the Alliance, to help the Alliance build its community in Tennessee. If you're single, to find a mate among fellow Alliance members and supporters. I did. To get married in a cosmotheist ceremony. To bring new children into the community. To build our library and research center. To get on our homeschooling committee. And a thousand other things that will make us stronger and stronger with each passing day. Our goal is our own racial state, our own living space, a place where we make the consensus, a place where we are the authority. Nothing else will do. What did our founder, William Pierce, have to say on the matter? He said in his Terror Breeds Terror, quote, "It's really too bad that innocent people will die, especially innocent children. It's too bad that people will be maimed and injured. It's too bad that people will be made fearful. If people could act in a rational way, all of that could be avoided. But they never do. When a civilization is dying, when the soul of a people is being poisoned, all sorts of irrational behavior takes place. The government does bizarre and destructive things. Individual citizens do bizarre and destructive things. And bloodshed and suffering are inevitable. It will become worse. There is nothing the government can do to stop it. So what ought people like us to do? People who approve of neither government terrorism, such as the Waco massacre or the bombing of Baghdad, nor private terrorism, such as the Oklahoma City bombing. Should we just sit on our hands and watch the government terrorists and the private terrorists fight it out? That, unfortunately, is what most of us have been doing until now. We've watched it all on television, but we haven't done anything about it. I believe that it's time for a few of us to begin shouldering a little responsibility for what's going on in the world around us. After all, it's our civilization they're destroying. We need to help people understand that a good bit, if not all, of the private terrorism we'll be seeing in the future will be a protest against the government's destruction of America. And most of the government terrorism will be an effort to frighten the government's critics into silence and inactivity. More and more, the government will lash out at dissidents, at anyone who is not politically correct. And the two sides will feed on each other. The more repressive and terroristic the government becomes, the more individuals there'll be who'll engage in terrorism to get back at the government. And the more individual terrorism there is against the government, the more terroristic the government will become in turn. And the rest of us will be caught between them. Violence breeds violence. I wish there were a way we could stop it. But I think that about all we can do now is understand it and try to help other people understand it too. The bond of trust between the U.S. government and its citizens has been broken, and it's far too late to mend it. Our task is to help people understand who America's real enemies are, by helping them understand the underlying causes of terrorism, and by encouraging them to stand together in a united front against government terrorism. We must begin laying the groundwork for an America in which there is no terrorism. Close quote. Laying the groundwork for an America in which there is no terrorism. Indeed, that task means replacing the rotten system that rules over us. And that is a task that random acts of violence do nothing to advance. The system is dying. Its death is coming far too slowly for my liking, but it is coming, just as surely as a man who thinks he can eat poison every day is sure to die. For but one example of many, the system's law enforcement and justice system is breaking down. To deal with the non-white onslaught, we can choose a police state or Somalia-like anarchy, or the National Alliance alternative, a racial state, white living space. Really, nothing else will do. Let's look at what's going on right now in South Africa, a portent for the future of a darkening America. Since the white government was overthrown there in 1994 and democracy was established at the behest of the Jews and their deluded white followers, there have been systematic planned murders of whites on a scale that boggles the mind. The level of violence against white farmers there is admitted to be the highest level of murder in the world. Over 300 per 100,000 population per year, higher than in many war zones. The rate for England and Wales, for example, is 1.3 per 100,000, almost 300 times less. Even the pro-black media in that part of the world admit that thousands of white farmers have been murdered there. These attacks by blacks on the productive white farmers are usually called farm killings, farm murders, or farm invasions. You almost never hear about them on television or in your local newspaper. Many thousands of white people have been killed in this racially motivated murder spree in South Africa alone. Yet the Jewish-run mainstream media give us crickets. Accompanied by banner headlines that go on for weeks about the latest crude Negro antics at the Oscars. The point I am making today about the genocide of whites in South Africa is this. Every few days, a white man, a white woman, a white child, or an entire white family is abused and raped and tortured and killed in this ongoing campaign. If the media were in white hands, this would be an issue. It would be an issue discussed every day on the television and on newspaper editorial pages in terms of outrage and demands that these killings cease immediately and that the guilty be punished. But it is not. Whites are instead encouraged to be concerned about alleged wrongdoings by their ancestors 150 years ago. They are encouraged to get excited about some Muslims who might have a microscopic chance of having a weapon they've never used. And they have the latest George Floyd equivalent shoved in their faces for weeks and months and years on end, and are encouraged to think of white racist violence, which is almost non-existent, as some kind of major threat requiring new hate crime legislation to take away even more of our precious rights. Think of all the media stories dealing with the death of a single black drug user. And how many stories are the media carrying about the farm murders of whites in South Africa? How many such stories have you heard? 3? 2? None? The media bosses want you to think that the white people killed yesterday on the Veld don't exist. Last week, we talked about the Jews' racial state. Well, we white people need a racial state, too. And achieving that goal, whatever it takes, is the purpose of the National Alliance. Nothing else will do.
Thank you. You're listening to Resolution Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people, 10 hearts, one beat, 100 hearts, one beat, 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics, the TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth, And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you, we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into our Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for the for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.